Thank you. Go to this right here. Very good. All right, you can be seated. You can be seated. Let's do something really quick this morning. Thank you. I really appreciate it. As I said yesterday, thank you. It is a joy to be back at Hiles Anderson College. Seemed like yesterday that I was sitting right there doing that same thing, having a good time, seeing how long I could holler to take up the preaching time. I remember those days. We used to stack up the songbooks, how high we could stack them up as we shouted, do crazy things. But chapel was always a highlight, and I learned so much. I really did in chapel. I didn't think about it in the moment, but looking back, all the seeds that were sown, and I'm so thankful for my time here. And I want to again say thank you to all the staff and faculty. And I took some time yesterday morning, of course, Pastor Wilkerson, and an honor to get to be here with him. And of course, standing in his place this morning. And then AOC over here, Anthony Out of Control Collins. I'm sorry, that was disrespectful. But if you were at the marriage retreat, if you're at the marriage retreat, in which none of these, y'all are so unmarried probably for a long time. But anyways, what a blessing he is. Don't take for granted his leadership and faithfulness. And of course, Brother King here, I'm so thankful to get to stand here and serve together. Now, yesterday, God brought a message to my heart for Hiles Anderson College Chapel, really for me as a student. I just rewound the clock and placed me as a student, and God spoke to me in that way. And then today, I really believe that this message could be the most important message for a college student here. And I believe when you get done with the message, you'll understand the truth, the principle, and if we'll grab root of it, if we'll take hold of it, we'll understand how important it is as we think about all the classes and all the chapel and how much we hear each and every day, all day, every day, listening and intaking, and then, of course, on the weekends. So the most important thing that we could do this morning and at this stage of life is to listen and respond. And so we're going to play a game that's really elevated. I mean, it's a collegiate game entitled Simon Says. And we're going to find out how well you listen and respond. So if you even flinch, you're out. If you do the wrong thing, you're out. If you cheat, your entire row is out. If you cheat again, if somebody else in that section, the entire section is out. And we have a crisp $50 bill. My wife, can you hold it up? Out of her purse. To the winner. All right. How many of you could use a crisp $50 bill this morning? Okay. So we've already started. You're already listening and responding. So what you're going to have to do is do the right thing. In other words, if I say touch an elbow and you touch the knee, you're out. Okay. All right. Everybody get that. Now I need two good judges. Is there somebody that hands out points or demerits or offenses? The king, could you stand right down here? Who else? We need another staff member. I don't want to put him in that spot. Somebody else that if they do something wrong, you call them out. Now, this is an honor system here this morning. If you could turn me up just a little bit, that would be great. Okay, so I do want everybody to participate, but maybe there's somebody that's just in rebellion and you're not going to. So let's find out. If you're going to participate, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Everybody's standing. Go ahead. And he's going to watch. We need a staff member. Is there a faculty staff that can watch this side? Brother Wilk, there we go. We'll let Brother Jonathan stand up. Y'all are not obeying. Stand up. Okay, if you stood up, you're out because I said it had already started. Now, Simon says, Solomon says, that if, now you're going to be a double liar if you stand up. Simon says, if you did not even start to stand up or flinch to stand up, or if you did not stand up, Simon says, stand up now. So Simon says, stand up. So if you look around, did somebody cheat? There was a whole lot more of y'all standing up than this right here. Look around. If somebody cheated, call them out. Call them out. All right, here we go. Simon says, raise your right hand. Simon says, put it down, clap. Okay. All you ladies didn't do it fast enough. Y'all were too slow right there. So if they do it too slow, just call them out. Okay, both hands up. Clap your hands. All right, Simon says both hands up. Simon says both hands down. Clap your hands. Touch your nose. You're out. If you touch your nose or clap, you're out. Okay, Simon says both hands up. Simon says, say I. You were too long. You can sit down. Way too long. Don't give me that attitude. No, Simon says, put your hands down. All right, touch your nose, clap your hands. Simon says, rub your stomach. All right, you all went for your elbow. You even went start for your elbow. If you went for your elbow, you're out. Okay, Simon says, put it down. Okay, Simon says, put it up. Put it down, clap your hands. Oh, you're out, you're out. If your hands are down, you're out. If you even flinched, you're out. Simon says, look at me the whole time. Okay, all right, very good. Simon says, turn around, look at the back wall. Put your hands down. The guy in the black coat, orange, yellow, you're out. If you even started to put your hands down. Okay, turn around and look at me. Oh, he's out, he started to turn around. Yeah, he's out. Call him out, call him out. I need help to have y'all call him out, okay? Just say, sit down. Okay, Simon says, turn around. Okay, all these guys are way too long. I said, Simon says, turn around. Every guy except the guy in the gray and the guy in the red. No, y'all are out. You're out. We got those two guys there. Okay, Simon says, put your hands down. Simon says, sit down. Simon says, stand up. Clap your hands. Oh, you're out. Dave and Flinch. Your hand shouldn't be up. You're out. He's so confused. He's as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Okay, Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, touch your ear. Put your hands down. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. Put your hands up. Touch your elbow. Okay, watch closely. Don't do the wrong thing. Simon says, rub your head. If you went for your knee, you're out. Simon says, put your hands down. If you do the wrong thing, you're out. Rub your forehead. Oh, Simon didn't say back there. Okay, we have just one in this section, one, very good. A few here. Let's do this. Let's bring them to the front because this is about the $50 bill. Bring them, come on up to the front. Come on up, come on up. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Our chapel time's going. Come on up as fast as you can, fast as you can. All right, we got only three that didn't move. Only three that didn't move. One, two, three. Simon says, come on up to the front. Okay, hold on, let's not do this. Stop, stop, stop. Are y'all still in? Stop right there, stop right there, stop right there. Okay, Simon says stop. Where are all these people coming from? The balcony. Oh, they're in the balcony. I didn't even see them up there. Okay, Simon says come right down here in the front. Face that way, face that way. Okay, you're out. Okay. Simon says, face that way. All right, very good. Now, if you don't watch me, you're out. If you do not watch me, you're out. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? Look at me. Look, here we go. Ready? Look right up here. Simon says, look right up here. Clap your hands. Simon says, clap your hands. Touch your nose. Clap your hands. Y'all are confused. You're confused. You can go have a seat. You're confused. Okay, Simon says, look out there. Okay, Simon says, sit down. There's a step there. Okay, Simon says, stand up. Simon says, smile at the person you like. Oh, I'm just joking. All right, guys, my time is up. We'll split the $50 bill between all of them. Give them a big round of applause. The Book of Mark and the Bible. You can have a seat. Go have a seat. For real. For real. Go have a seat. Go have a seat. For real. You got to listen to me. It's all about listening and responding. Give them a big round of applause. Go have a seat. Big round of applause. All right, Simon says y'all can go have a seat. They are the for real winners. He's not. All right, Mark chapter number 4. The goal was to make sure you were awake. I'm serious. For those of you that will see, we'll figure out a way to split it between, I think there was 5 or 6 of you. Let's find, how many of you were there? Raise your hand if you were still in. Okay, you're out, so y'all don't get the money either. That guy right up there, Simon didn't say. All right, there are going to be times in your life when your life fails, your strength fails, your hope fails, your dreams fail. Everything that you had planned is going to fail. It's not going to work out the way that you intended. Things are going to get foggy. Things are going to get cloudy on you. It's going to happen if it hasn't already. And you're going to find yourself in the fog of war, if you will. There has got to be a formula to keep you on the right path, to keep you from throwing in the towel, from throwing away your testimony, your life, your marriage, your children, your ministry, your impact. There's got to be a formula. If somebody gets sick, they follow a formula known as a prescription. Do this, follow this, and it will help you. This morning, we discover that formula from the Word of God. There is a formula. I truly believe the very black and white, basic, principled, truth this morning, not necessarily like a conference or camp meeting message. I truly believe that this doctrine, this truth from the Word of God is the most important truth in this setting. With the amount that you hear, the amount that you are given from the Word of God and in your classes and in chapel and in Sunday school. This formula right here and now, I believe, could be the most important. So I'm going to tell you what I plan to do, what the Lord has laid on my heart to do this morning. I'm going to lift a few verses from Mark chapter number 4 in the Bible, and I'm going to teach this doctrine, this truth that Jesus was teaching. And then after I teach this doctrine and this principle that's found all over the Bible, I mean, it's everywhere, and we could do an entire study just actually teaching the doctrine and the principles. What we're going to do after teaching it, after reading it, it'll be a little confusing to you still, so then we're going to play it out. We're going to illustrate it. Why do I tell you that? Because if you don't follow in the scriptures and try to apply your heart to understanding, when you see it played out, it may not connect. I believe it will, but it, especially if you listen. So Mark chapter number 4, let's begin reading as Jesus gives the first parable here in Mark chapter number 4. Let's jump in to verse number 9 after he's given the parable of the sower. Verse number 9, he says unto them, and he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Will you say that phrase whenever I stop? Say it out loud. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, in Mark, in verse number 13, he says, if you don't get this parable, you're not going to get anything else that I say. If you don't have ears to hear, if you don't apply your heart and receive, it's the word hearken. Listen and apply. Listen and do. Not just hearers coming in one ear and out the other, but doers as well. But if he said, if you don't get this, you're not going to get any other parable that I give. This is the first here. And he said, you're going to have to get this parable of the sower. You're going to have ears to hear. Now, the principle is this. The problem is not with the seed. The problem is with the soil. The problem is not with the light. That's light, amen? The problem is with the sight. The problem is not with the message. The problem is with the receiver of the message. It's up to me to receive, for me to decide and act upon, for me to first hear, and out of 7 children that I have, my little children, it's not guaranteed that they will all walk in the path and the ways of the Lord. But if they will hear the truth, the scriptures, the word of God that they have been given an opportunity, to much is given, much will be required. If they will listen, if they will apply God's scriptural formula to their life and they will receive it and hearken to it, adhere to it, hold on to it, and live it out, they'll be okay. Even when their heart deceives them, and their heart will deceive them. It's not guaranteed just because they're growing up in a preacher's home or a Christian home that they're going to make it. And there will be, unfortunately, many in this room, or some in this room, who throw away all of the joy and the happiness and the peace and the life that God has for you, simply not because you wanted to throw it away, but because you did not have ears to hear. You find it in Revelation. The Spirit saith unto the churches, he that hath, let him hear. I was with a soul winner in our Pizza Ranch restaurant, and we began to witness to this lady, and this wise older man said to me, he looked at me, he said, Joseph, after we witnessed, said, that lady does not have ears to hear. We're speaking, she's nodding your head, but she's not receiving what is being given. I want you to think about this principle, ears to hear. Think about the cycle of preaching. The Word of God is rich and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And God's word will not return void. Well, then why is it that people can hear preaching, sit in chapel every day, all the classes, church, being in a church that's founded upon the riches of God's word, rooted and discipled in all of these things, and yet still go throw away their lives and everything that they've been given? It's because, think about it, we as preachers, you as a preacher or so on, you begin to walk with God and seek the Lord, and in your prayer and in your study and in your Bible reading, God shows you a truth, and all of a sudden it begins to burn in your heart. As Jeremiah said, thy word was as a fire shut up in my bones. He says, I've got the word of God inside of me. And so you see a truth, just like this truth, as God brought this to my heart, and you began to think about this truth and God speaking to you. And so you began to pray about this truth that God would give an opportunity for you to deliver the riches of His Word as you're just coming down through the riches of Scripture, studying to show thyself approved. And so you have heard from God, you've received it from His Scripture, now it's a fire in your heart. Follow the cycle. And so we as preachers, Pastor Wilkerson, maybe on a Sunday, or you're the college preachers and teachers, that's burning in their heart. So now they move it to their mind and they begin to think about it in order so that they can eventually, after moving it maybe to pen and paper, maybe to teaching notes, they begin to move it to their tongue. And then finally it has to be presented. You're seeing the final process on my part. Outside of prayer, that I, as I continue to pray, that God carries on. When people have said to me, hey, thank you for that message, I don't say, oh, I'm glad God used it. I've been saying, if you've asked me that, well, I pray that God uses it, because I don't want it to end yesterday. And so, but today, I now take the fire in my heart as I've received from God, and I'm praying over it. I'm seeking God. Really, the secret of any message is the messenger getting with God and saturating himself in the Word of God and the ways of God, the prayer, and then delivering it. Now it leaves my mouth. Now there's where the real work begins, Jesus is teaching to his disciples. But here is why so many Christians are stunted in their growth and go to throw their lives away, is because you leave it up to me as a preacher or your pastor and pastors and those that have poured into your life for the past 18 to 25 years, however old you are, to get up and deliver. And the cycle needs to continue that you prayed before you came into chapel. Every day, hey, you take time to eat. And so you just pray a 5-minute prayer, grab some guys and say, God, please speak to my heart. The precious word of God is going to be open. And so you prayed. Now you're sitting and listening. You've got to let it come into your cognitive mind. And I've sat in these chapels and I've thought about Subway down the street or whatever they're going to have in chapel that day, or the girl sitting next to me, or the pressure or stressor that I have, or the classes or whatever, and I'm not allowing it into my mind. The devil's trying to keep you from that. There are people sitting right here. You have no idea what's going on right now. You're not listening. And the outcome of your life is determined on that little truth right there. You're not listening. You don't have ears to hear. You're hardening your neck. That's turning off your ear, and the devil's clouding and crowding your mind out with all the, you know, somebody might be checking a cell phone and all these different things. And God is trying to get it into your mind so you can think about it. Bring every thought into the captivity against the knowledge of God. And so you begin to think about it. Then from there, you've got to surrender your heart. This is after it's already left the mouth of your teacher, preacher, those pouring into your life. Now you move it to your heart and you say, that's right, I agree with that. That is the word of God. Man, that's good. Man, that'll change my life. Wow, I need that. And those that were touched yesterday in chapel and throughout your whole college career here are those that moved, that got it in their mind because they listened, they moved it to their heart, and they're saying, God, I need that. I want that. And they allow that fire to build in their heart. They're excited. God spoke to me. Have you ever heard a student maybe come into the room and say, man, God used that message today? You know what they're saying? I listened, I thought, I surrendered. I allowed God to... Have you ever had your heart burn during a message? You had to let it into the gate of your ears and in your mind and down into your heart. Now, of course, with the Scriptures, you bring it to the Scriptures and you're studying the Word of God and you're applying your heart to that, then you live it out. Now the cycle is fulfilled. But unfortunately, the devil... And his full-time job is keeping young people like ourselves, because we think we're so smart and we got it all figured out. We're saying, okay, yeah, give it to us if you will, but it's not coming through that complete process. So the Bible says this. Notice verse 23. Here's the formula. He says, and it came to pass, Mark chapter 4 in verse 23. The Bible says, if any man, again, he says it, have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, now here's the formula. Are you ready? He says, number one, take heed what ye hear. We are a culmination of what we hear. What are you hearing this morning? What are you receiving this morning? My son Samuel is 8 months of age. He's not a Democrat or a Republican. He's not a White Sox fan or a Cubs fan. He has no likes and dislikes, if you will. He has no opinions. Why? Because he is and will be a culmination of everything he receives and hearkens to. You say, I'm my own man. No, I could come down and talk to you for 5 minutes, even maybe look at a style of clothing or ride with you in your car, and I could start figuring out what you've been listening to. I can listen to a preacher one time and listen to where maybe he grew up, who he listened to, the styles of preaching he listened to. I can listen to certain buzzwords in my own generation and say, uh-oh, or thank God. And they think, oh, it's all self-derived. You know, no, it's not. You're a culmination of the books you read, the people you listen to, the music that you place in your life. It's what we're listening to and receiving. And he says, take heed what you hear. What are you listening to? There are people that come into college like this, have the joy, see the blessings of God, the miracles of God, the multi-generational work of God, and go listen to one thing on the internet and yank the rug out from underneath everything that they had growing up because they weren't serious in receiving today, but they got serious when they realized they were out on their own and life really mattered, and they went to the wrong sources, the wrong podcasts, the wrong preachers, the wrong philosophies that appeal and please to the flesh and make us feel smart and make us feel good and make us feel independent. And I'm my own man. I'm just not going to do what Hiles Anderson, you know. I'm my own, but this is my style of ministry and my this and my that. And what we are actually doing is not doing ourselves any good and following on our own and, you know, own two feet. We're actually now listening and hearkening to something that is affecting our life. And so the Bible says, take heed. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Are you going to receive the scorner and the critic at Hiles Anderson College? Are you going to receive the negative, the liars, the seductive, the rebellious, the sensual? What are you going to listen to? Because whatever you listen to, I'm talking about in friendships, I'm talking about in ministry, I'm talking about in music, I'm talking about in movies. God says, take heed. It's your responsibility. Take heed what you hear. Are you going to receive the things of God? Are you going to get all of it that you can get and put it in your life and listen to it? Secondly, in our formula, he says not only, verse 24, take heed what you hear. He says now, take heed what you measure. Let's read it. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So he says, take heed what you measure. This meet means measure. So he's saying, how much are you going to take in? Is it going to be 16 ounces, 32 ounces? Is it going to be a gallon here? Is it going to be a dump truck load? How much of the scorner are you going to hear? How much of the sensual are you going to hear? How much of the critic? How much of the dirty joke? How much of the preaching? How much of the teaching? And Brother Wilkerson, we have a generation that has more access to godly good preaching than ever before, but yet we're living in a generation, as I talked about or talked to my dad about when he was at Piedmont Bible College, and their preacher boys, man, they would go, because they couldn't listen to it, like they would go to Dr. Hiles' meetings and John R. Rice and Harold B. Seitler and Bob Jones Sr. And every Friday night, he said, we were at somebody's meeting trying to get as much preaching as we could because of the next step in the formula. He says, we want to get everything that we can. We want to dig up. I have 4 years, 2 years, 1 year, 10 years, however long, here at Hiles Anderson College, and I will never again in the history of my life probably get to sit in chapel every day and class every day. And I know it seems boring and I'm going through the motions sometimes, but I'm going to get as much as I can. And I'm going to think about what he's saying. Are you thinking about what's being said right now? That's the first step. And he says, take heed how much you hear. How much of it are you going to go get a dump truck load and place into your life? Now, number three, here's why. Not only what you hear, how much you hear, but now he says, he that hath ears to hear, take heed, whatever measure you meet, it will be measured to you again. Whatever you measure out, that amount and more will be measured back to you because of the principle of reaping and sowing. So the thought is this, quickly. I have a chance to listen to the critic, the scorner, the backbiter, the bitter, the negative, the godless, the humanist, or the Christ-like. So I reach over and I say, I want some of that. I'm going to listen. I don't have to be my own man. As long as it's founded in the Word of God, I'm going to listen. This is why I'm standing before you today, of no merit on my own. But I decided, everybody's got their opinions, everybody's got their styles, everybody's got their likes and dislikes. What do I need to do? I need to decide, is that Bible God's word? Is that Bible God's way? Well, then I'm going to listen to people who are passionate about the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And I'm just going to listen. And I'm going to listen to what they say. And even when it may not even make sense to me or in my life stage, I'm going to listen. I don't make a major decision without calling godly counselors in my life and say, what does the Bible say? I could go and look, and sometimes I think, we're in a building project at our church, and I think, oh, I could make this decision. I know what our parameters are like. But I'll call. I sit down with an hour and a half with a man who's been in the ministry for 40 years, and I said, tell me about it. Talk to me about it. And I'm listening, and I'm hearkening. I want to get as much of it as I can. Why? Because however much I get, it's going to come back to me in that way and in other ways. But by the way, whatever you hear today, whatever you receive today, whatever you're listening to today on your radios, on your smartphones, on your Amazon Music or Spotify or whatever, iTunes, whatever, whatever you're taking in, let me tell you something. You will receive that coming back one day. He says, take heed what you hear, how much you hear, because whatever you hear is going to come back to you. I'm going to be careful to hear the right and godly things. He says you ought to get as much of it as you can. Now notice verse 25 quickly. For he that hath, now this verse seems confusing, but follow it carefully. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. You say, well, wait a minute, I didn't think he had anything. Well, he did. This is all about listening. He says, the just shall live by. So here's what we're going to do. Miss Rachel, my time is really going, so I'm going to need a couple more people to help you. A couple more ladies, if you will. And if you have tape, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take these right here, and I want you, in a moment, to put them up in random places all over. But don't do it yet, because I'm going to pick out a couple guys here. I'm going to illustrate this, and then we're going to go and go to the next class. So I want two guys. Who can help me out this morning? Two guys that'll help me. Hold on. Sit down. I want to see a hand go up in the air. Two guys to help me. You were playing the violin, weren't you? Come on up here. We'll get a violinist to play. He looks like an obedient guy. How about a front row Baptist? Come on up here. Can this guy do it here in a hoodie and in chapel? What's up with that? All right, so you guys come up here. Now, I want you to put this on and put it on to where you cannot see. Be sure you cannot see. Put it on yourself. All right, there you go. Make sure you cannot see. And those have the little flap that you can't see. So we're going to illustrate this. Now, the Bible said the just will live by faith. These guys are born again Christian. And when you got saved, you got the joy of salvation. You got eternal security. You got the Lord living in your life, but you just got access to everything else. Sometimes people say, when I got saved, I got all peace and all joy and all victory and an incredible life. No, you got an opportunity for those things. You got eternal life and an opportunity for a good earthly life if you follow in sanctification in the ways of the Lord. So here it is. Hold this card. The joy of salvation. He is saved. Don't miss this. You're going to see it come together at the end here in a moment. And so they cannot see anything. And now go ahead and put them out. I want you to listen, guys up here. What's your name in the maroon? Joshua, all right?
Peter
and Joshua. We are putting out the things that God says that you have access to as a born-again believer. So look around a little bit. Put some up here, up in here. So we have, what does she have right here? She has ministry and happy home. Anybody want a happy home? Anybody want generational influences? Look back here. No regrets. All the way back here, a good church. Ooh, there's true love. Anybody want true love? I mean, God's filled love. And so much could be said about all of these things. Dreams fulfilled and no regrets and peace. I think I said a heavenly marriage. Where's a heavenly marriage? One of these guys, Josh or Peter, want a heavenly marriage. True love, good friends. Good friends, a clean heart. Soul saved, a good testimony. Lives changed. Keep putting them up. It's all over. It's a life made available to you. But the Bible says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Because disciples, if you don't get this, you're not going to have these things. You might have a fake version of it, but it's going to leave you with broken dreams. There's true friends. It's going to leave you with a broken heart and no influence. Out here is children from God, man. Y'all may not know the blessings of that, but I'm telling you, when it comes and you hold that little baby in your arms and you realize this is a gift from God, it's a joy that can never be replaced. And I'm so thankful. And God says, if you'll just listen to God's word, the heart is deceitful and wicked above all else. Who can know it? The ways of man are of the Lord. How can he know his own goings, the Bible says. So you're going to have to live by faith through the teaching and preaching. They've been given to the church for the edification of the saints. And he goes on talking about how we can't live without it so much the more, Hebrews 10:25, as you see the day approaching. Now you're in college. And if you will simply listen, God's word will guide you to things that you don't even know are in your future, but that you want. Let's start with old Peter over here. Peter, what sounds good out there? My time is going, so let's do it quick. Pick one. Heavenly marriage, true love, good friends, purpose, peace, soul saved, life changed. Does he have a girlfriend? You want a heavenly marriage? What do you? Tell us quickly, if you will. No regrets. Where's no regrets? Somebody tell me where no regrets are. Okay, so here we go. You want no regrets? Day by day, chapel by chapel, class by class, teaching and preaching in God's Word, and you digging into God's Word, getting as much as you can. I want you to take two steps to the left. Two steps to the left. All right, very good. A little bit more. Now, walk down the steps, if you will. Take a step forward. Keep coming. I'll guide you. I know things seem confusing, and you're going to class, and you're going to college, and you're going to work, and it seems long, but you just keep trusting the Lord day by day. Keep walking, if you will. Just walk straight. Just keep walking straight. Just keep walking straight as fast as you can. I won't let you fall. As fast as you can, walk straight. Walk straight. Very good. Keep walking. Now, turn a little bit to the right. There you go. Looks like we're dancing. Okay, very good. All right, stop. Stop. Reach your right hand out. Reach your right hand out. Now down and a little to the left. A little to the left. About right there. Now straight forward. Straight forward. Reach down. Reach down. Grab that paper. Hold it up for the world to see. Here's a life of no regrets. Why? Because he's such a great godly man on his own. No, because he listened to the scriptures. Because he laid down his own pride and his own way and his own life, and he surrendered to God and said, I'm just going to follow that old book and the teachers and preachers, and I'm going to listen. No regrets. Thank you, Peter. You can stand there. Well, actually, let's do another one. What sounds great? True love is actually pretty close to no regrets. What do you want?
I'll do something far away.
Okay, what do you want?
What's something far away?
I'm not going to tell you. You just got to. What do you want? True friends, true love, purpose.
Children.
Children from God, where are they? Where's the children? All right, you're going to have to follow me. Follow me. Come on, let's go. You got to get married first, though, bro. Run. All right, here we go. Here we go. I know it's crazy. You can't see. As fast as you can. Come on. Over here in the crazy section. All right, where is it? I don't. Over here? Okay, come over here. All right, so he's listening. I know it's crazy. He's like, I cannot see anything. It's confusing. He feels blind right now. But you know what? You've taken a long journey. But let me tell you something. When you hold that baby and he looks at you and says, Daddy, I want to be just like you. He found children from God. Give him a big round of applause. All right. Very good. Stay there. Have him stay there. All right. Now, Joshua, what do you want? We're almost done. Joshua, what do you want? What do you want, Joshua? True love. All right, he wants some true love. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Take a few steps to the right. Take a few steps to the right. All right. To the right, take a few steps. We're going to go get true love over here. Okay, so I want you to listen. I know you're a good kid, and take a few steps to the right. Do you know your left from your right? Do you know your left from your right? Okay, all right. So let's try this then. Take a few steps forward. Okay, let's try it this way. Take a few steps backwards. All right. Right over this way. Okay, now walk forward carefully. Walk forward carefully. Okay, Joshua, you really want true love? Seriously? Do you really want true love?
Sure.
You got a problem? I mean, you think I'm against you? I mean, seriously, I'm trying to invest in your life here. What I want to do is you go find your true love. Go ahead. Go find your true love. Go ahead and go find your true love. Y'all think he's going to find it anytime soon? Okay, stop. Stop right there. Surprised he did that without falling. I was hoping he would fall and I'd get sued. Wait a minute. I have to hurry here. This to teachers and pastors, and I know I'm not that much older than you, but I can already say this looks like the average Christian. It's like, what are you doing? God's word is true. It's simple. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. He has a good and expected end for you, and the formula is clear. We are the creation, not the creator. We're not little gods running around. We don't know. Our heart is blind. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And I would normally have him stumble around a whole lot, but he has nothing. Oh, Peter over here. Peter, pull your eyes up just because this auditorium is so massive. Run up here as quickly as you can so I don't have to guide you up here. No, keep it on because I'm going to have you get it on when you get up here. But Peter, grab a clean heart on the way. Stop. Peter. He's not listening. Grab a good testimony right there. Grab a good testimony real quick. And so he's gotten several things. A couple of you guys grab a few things over there and bring them to me. Somebody bring a heavenly marriage. Did he already get a heavenly marriage? He's got children, so we better get that marriage going on. And run me a few things up here real quick. Put your mask back on. I don't know where his joy of salvation card went. Go ahead and stand right here. And so, there it is. Put your mask back on, please. These guys are doing great. I really appreciate good heart. So, we come to a stage in life and we look, hold on to that, joy of salvation. We look at all the things that he has. He's got a stack of things and it's like, wow, he's been blessed. I don't understand how he has a life like that. And we look down and we see that he listened. And because he listened, he honored the principal, and the principal honored him. He allowed the seeds to be planted in his heart. He surrendered his life and heart, and he listened every day in chapel. He listened to the preaching. He applied his heart. Thank you so much. And we looked at his life. Let me tell you something. When I was a little boy, I grew up in a Christian home, 11th grade. I surrendered my ears to the Lord, my heart to the Lord. I was called to preach, and I began to listen, having no idea that soon after being called to preach, I'd be asked to teach a 4th grade boys class. Thank God for that. I got to change lives. And from there, got to be a youth pastor in our home church and preach to teenagers and bus teens in a teen church. And then out of nowhere, not of my own seeking at all, the next thing I know, I'm walking to the pulpit of a mature church and preaching the Word of God Sunday after Sunday and going home for lunch and sitting down saying, God, this is amazing. What a dream. What God was doing was because by the grace of God, I listened. He was going out and measuring more in. Just like when I listened to my dad, when he said, not her. He said, I don't pick who you marry, I just pick who you don't. And I said, Dad, you don't understand. And we got in that little altercation, if you will, and rebellion that I had. And finally, I submitted and I said, I'm so sorry, Dad. I will obey you. Hey, let me tell you something. Had I not listened today, I didn't see down the road that Charity Epley was in my future. But because I listened to my dad and listened to the principles of God's word, of children, obey your parents in the Lord in a spirit-filled life, and just obey God. Go with God even when you don't want to. I had no idea that Hannah would come along, and Aaron would come along, and Lydia would come along, and Abigail would come along, and Rachel would come along, and Andrew would come along, and Samuel would come along. And God was just piling the goodness, and I have more true friends than I could have ever imagined. And up to the stage in life, no regrets as far as serving God and going for God in a heart. And I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal. God knows who I am. But it's just the blessings and the richness of God. As you look at Pastor Wilkerson and how he's been mightily used of God, just put the Word of God in. Just study the Word of God. Put the Word of God in. Listen to the preaching and the teaching. And you look at all of this blessing and you say, oh God, I don't deserve it. I don't know how I have dreams fulfilled, but what a life. What a life. Thank you, God, because I listened. I had ears to hear. Then you come over here and you say, Josh, what's going on? I don't understand. You don't have anything. Now, if you notice in verse 25, it says, to him that hath, because he didn't listen, to him that hath not, that which he hath shall be taken away. Now, here's what's happening. Because you are not growing, if you're not growing, you're dying. Because you're not listening, pulling that arm away, you will not listen. You will not follow biblical principles. You got to do it your own way. Because of that, here's what happened, and here's what's happening all around and happened down through the years around this college right now. You have people that drive by this college, and this is gone. I don't mean salvation, but the joy of knowing that they're saved. They're bitter. They're hate-filled. Why? Because that him that hath not, if you don't have the blessings of God in your life, that which you do have, that seed of the joy of salvation, is taken away. You become bitter and cynical and hateful. It was a boy that stopped by the church one day and he said, Joe, I just want to tell you something. He left our church and said some things about, you know, just went his own way, a completely different path. And he says, I drive by this church at 6 o'clock in the morning and I see your car sitting out there and I see people starting to stir and get things ready. And he said, a lump comes up in my throat. And he said, he didn't even know what he was saying. And I said, well, why? What, you know, I was trying to get him to come. And I said, well, just come back. He's like, oh, no, no, you know me. This ain't me. This ain't me. There was a bitterness and yet a longing for the life that once was. There are people who look at Old First Baptist Church or Hiles Anderson College, and there's a hatred and frustration in their heart, and they don't even know why. And it's because they don't have a handful of this. And if they did, they would have this. It's up to you. Do you want to lose what God has given you, an opportunity for joy and peace all the way? My Savior leads me. You can hold on to that. And you know who you are. You're not listening to mom and dad about that boyfriend or girlfriend. You're not listening to godly people in life about that music, about those friends, about your job, about your future. You're just not. You've got it figured out, and you've got it all explained. We're good lawyers and arguers. We're in our little cocoon, our little bubble, and we've got it figured out instead of saying, God, I fall on the altar, and I open my heart to say, I will be one that has ears to hear, because he that hardeneth his neck, in other words, will not hear, will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I invite you to do business with God. Brother Wilkerson, would you come and do as you see fit? Thank you so much.